Well, good to see everyone here. Got all the groceries bought for the house and stuff, and game for the kids to play. Right? Anyway, glad you are here. Did you know it's 11 degrees at our house this morning? 11. People shouldn't live in that. I mean, that's like, what is that? Anyway, we'll survive. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love and your goodness, and that we can sing praises to you, and that you're our teacher, and you teach us things we would never know unless you would show us. And so we thank you for that. And I pray you just anoint service, encourage everyone here, and to hear from your word, and we thank you for that. I pray you anoint me, that I just speak things of the Spirit, and that, Lord, that you would use it in a powerful way. So we give all things to you. Rest in you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, the title to the message is, What is Faith? All right? And it's interesting. I think it's something we should really deal with. We say, well, have faith, have faith. Well, what is faith? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to have faith? And so we're going to look at this and process it and see what the Lord tells us. Now, one thing, you know, you talk to people and you see them, they say, we have faith. You know, well, okay, and what and why? Okay, so you hear it outside the Christian realm and things like that. But what we're going to talk about this morning is Christian faith. What does the Bible mean when it says have faith? As a Christian, what does it mean when it says have faith? So that's where our focus is. You know, you could have someone that, you know, is not interested in church, doesn't believe in God. They say, well, I have faith to do this and, you know, whatever, and have different reasons for saying that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what God says about faith, the Christian realm. What is faith for believers? What is faith? Now, I'd like for you kind of, in the process, just kind of think about it yourself. What does it mean to you when you say you have faith? What does that mean when you say you have faith? Can you put a definition to that, what faith is? And always drives me crazy with you talk to somebody and the whole world's falling apart. They just have faith. Okay, well, what? In what? You know, well, the workout. Just have, and, you know, and it's like, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean, just have faith? And, you know, and they'll smile and pat you on the back because they don't know. Anyway, okay. But anyway, so we're going to look at that this morning. Keep that in your mind. What is faith? And the big point is, what do you understand is faith? That's why we want to look at this. And so the best place to understand faith is go to the Scripture, which tells us about faith, you know, and is used throughout the Scripture. Okay, we're going to start in the book of James. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. And I encourage you to listen closely, because when you hear some of this, you're going to say, wait a minute, there's some contradictory, and it's not. It really is not. It's given the whole picture is what's happening. There's a whole picture coming on here. So let's pay attention. Is it, what is faith? And then as you ask yourself what you think faith is, do you have it? You know, do we have it? All right. James chapter 2, verse 14 says this. What good is it, my brothers? Now just pause there in a little word. When he says, what good is it, my brothers, who's he talking to? The guy at the giant store, you know, who, somebody, you know, whatever. No, he's talking to believers. That's the reason he called them brothers and sisters. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Anybody going, wait a minute. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And it says, can that save him? Can that faith save him? Now, a little add there, and it's appropriate if you're writing down in your Bible or notepad or whatever it is. It says, can that faith save him? What it really reads is, can that kind of faith save him? can that kind of save faith him? He has faith, but he doesn't have works. Now, as we look at this verse, and we're going to look in the scriptures, all the topics we have looked at over the last several weeks concerning prayer, God says, ask anything. He says, ask for wisdom. You know, he said, I'll give it to you. And he says, have joy in trials, because you know I'm working. Okay, so he's making all these statements. But all these statements are made around and centered on faith. Faith centers in all of them. Prayer, okay? Prayer, wisdom, God will receive, God will work through this. And in all these promises, these absolute promises. But in every one of them, it talks about faith. Faith. So to incorporate these promises and walk in, oh, the majesty of God, he'll hear me and answer my prayer, we have to understand it's centered around faith. Well, we ought to know what faith is then, if it centers around faith. And this explains, and you know, I said before, you talk about, oh, here's prayer, ask anything. Now, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then you ask all these questions and, you know, you just have a headache and you discourage everybody around you and vow never to read the Bible again. Okay. You see what I'm saying? It just drives you nuts. But it makes absolute statement. All these statements he makes about prayer, ask anything, need wisdom, ask, he'll give it to you. Absolute. And so it's like, oh, you're going through trials. Praise God. Doesn't it say hallelujah? Why? Because God's doing a great work. All right. So he's saying, but it's centered around faith. All of these are around faith. So understanding faith ties them all together where we can incorporate it and walk in it. So what is faith? It's very center, important, the whole thing. Okay, since faith is foundational to all these other promises, we need to understand what is faith. Now, do you think it means faith? Do you think faith means try harder? Do you think faith means work up a strong belief, you know? Or does it mean spend hours in prayer? Does it mean fast and deprive yourself of things? Just deprive, you know, have faith. None of these things represent faith. Not one of them. Not one of them. They don't represent faith. They don't represent faith. So, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? Now, I'm going to read you a verse out of Hebrews. And the reason I'm reading this verse, one reason only, because years and years as I struggled with, like, okay, faith, understanding it. As a believer. I'm here as an elder at Rest of the Bible Church. Well, how do you have faith? Well, I know you just have it and you just do. You know, if I was a great shepherd, you know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. You know, and that's before Google, I didn't know. You know, it's like, how do you have faith? And, you know, and so I had a real hard time putting it down on words. And then I read this verse and went, I said, oh my God, this is faith. This is faith. Are y'all ready? Ready? Okay. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 8. Now listen closely to this. By faith, Abraham, okay? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Now, Abraham's a man of faith. So here is a man of faith, and so what did he do? When called, he obeyed. When called, did he just go out and say, hey, let's play a round of Palestinian golf? I mean, it's like, no, I mean, he did that. Or when it says right there that he obeyed, he tells Sarah, hey, Sarah, I got a good idea. Why don't we just head off, you know? No, he heard and he obeyed. That's faith. Now, you need to write this down. I mean, it's like center to the whole Bible, all right? It's like, okay. So, By faith, Abraham, when called, now you'll see up there what I did. I put in parentheses after called, okay? When he heard, and after obeyed, I put acted, all right? When he heard, he acted. When he heard. Now, faith is when called, we obey. More generally, in the bigger picture, faith is when we hear God and act. Okay, now think about it. Faith is when we hear God and act. Have faith. I tell you, have faith. What am I telling you? Listen to me, try harder. You know, no, you can't have Christian faith until you what? My wife said it, of course we ran it with. You have faith when? When you hear God. And act. Have faith. Well, to have faith, you've got to hear God, and you understand it to you is from God, and then you act. And the whole package is faith. Now, if I tell you, this is what I say, and do this, and God will bless your socks off, you know? Well, I'm just, and be honest, I can take it. When I say that, did you hear God? You said, you, but no. It's always amazing how agreeable you are in these things, okay? You go, no, we didn't hear God. Therefore, you're not going to act on it out of great amount of wisdom. But when you hear God, it's like, well, I need to act. Okay, so here's something else. So we're there. Everybody with me? This faith is you have to hear God, then you act. Now listen closely to this, and this helps us. If you hear God and don't act, you know what that's called? Disobedience. So, well, they're disobedient. Why are you disobedient? Well, you didn't do X, Y, Z. No, you're disobedient because you heard God tell you something and you didn't do it in your disobedience to God on something he told you. You with me? And so that's really important that we understand. You don't act. It's disobedience. I heard God. What'd you do? Nothing. That's disobedience. Now, the other one, if you don't hear, you haven't heard anything, but you just act. Because I told you to. Okay, no. Or you just act. You didn't hear anything, so you just act. Do you know what that's called? Presumption. You just act. Hey, we'll get it done. Come on. We can take this mountain. We'll do this. Come on and do. That's presumption. God didn't tell you, so we're going to take a charge at it. Anyway, it's presumption. There was an account in Numbers, which I think fascinating. And so you had the spies go into the land. They came back and said, hey, we can take this whole thing over, you know. And so everybody said, no, we ain't going in there. The people are bigger than we are, and we can't fight. And so God comes down and says, all right, I'm done with you. You're going to wander in the desert for 40 years, all right. Then they go, okay, we're sorry. We'll go in. Come on, guys, let's get all the guys, and let's go attack, okay. Do you know what Moses told them? Not going to work. Don't go. Can't do it. You didn't go the first time. Now God has something else for you. They went and attacked and got beat. One of the few defeats recorded with Moses and his people. Why? Because they were presumptuous. God said, don't go. And they went anyway. That's presumption. Y'all with me? So this is, doesn't this help kind of understand? Okay, faith. Hear God. Do what he says. He tells you something, you don't do it. That's disobedience. You don't hear nothing and just do anything. That's presumption. Okay? So, it really helps life, and it helps reading the Scripture. Reading the Scripture. Well, what is the difference between me and Elijah? First of all, Elijah heard God and did what he said. And then God did great things through him because he did what God said and he could use him. Y'all with me? Okay, now here, well, we're moving on here. Now, here's the thing, and this is where you need to pay attention. Our salvation our becoming a Christian is based on faith. What does that mean? We hear and we do. Now, so what we hear, but the thing of it is, it says it is a gift of God, not of ourselves. Well, what do we do? What's the do? Because we come in faith, but it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So if it's a gift, we don't do anything. So we hear, but our action is what? Trust. Trust. Because from now on, no, we believe. And then nobody will talk us out of it. We are totally locked in that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins and we are forgiven. And we trust that. And that's our work. We won't do anything, but that's our work, is trust in that. Y'all with me? That's it. See, but it's like, I believe Jesus, you know, I heard, you know, it's like, I don't know. You know, they think I believe, but nah, it sounded good. But I heard him, but I don't know if I'm going to do any of the stuff he said. I don't know if I trust he died on the cross for my sins, you know. It's like, no action, no faith. But what's the faith? Trust. But it's individual. It's an individual, see, thing. It's trust there. So what we have is salvation by trust. We hear and we trust. We do nothing but totally trust, which is our action. So, okay, now here's a perfect verse. Same Bible. James and Paul are on the same page. But you read it and think, wait a minute. You know, James is saying, man, if you don't have works, how can that save you? But listen to what Paul says. But James totally agreed what Paul said. So listen to what Paul said. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace. Now, okay, it's for grace. It's a given. It's great. It's favor. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You heard and you trusted. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. See what I said? Not the result of works. It's trust. But James just said, and if you ain't any works, you don't have any faith. How do they come together? Because he understood that you come to salvation, you trust. That's all you have to do. But you do have to trust. And you can be in terrible situations, you know, oh my God, I just trust. Jesus is there, and I'm forgiven. And that's the work. Okay, that's the work. That's the action. Okay, that is the work. Now, so we're all saved. Okay, we trust in Jesus. When I say we trust in Jesus, Jesus said, I died and paid the penalty for your sins. You go, I believe. Okay, the trust. So we exhibit faith. We step into the Christian kingdom based on trust. That's our action. That's our action. Now, okay, that's how we got into the church. That's how, okay. Now, after salvation, and as James said before, he goes, brothers, he's talking to people in the church. That's who he's talking to. So after salvation, we continue to have faith. Okay, and that's where we're going with this. After salvation, we continue to have faith. What does it mean? We continue to hear and obey. After salvation. Salvation is if you hear and trust. But after we come to know the Lord and trust Him, now we continue to hear and we continue to obey. That's faith. We exercise our faith there. Now, and we do the works. We hear and we do the works that God Himself has prepared for us. Listen to the next verse in Ephesians 2:10. Paul continues, for we are, now he says, it's a gift of God, not of yourself. But then he says this, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. After you trust, now you have been created for good works, which God has prepared for you beforehand, that we should walk in them. God prepared these before. Well, how do we do this? You hear God, you act. It's by faith. He's already done it, but now he's going to speak to you. And now he's going to tell you, and then you act on it. Well, if he's prepared these works for you, hey, man, that's cool. And I'll just wait around, and maybe Adam will take care of that. And no faith. See, I heard it, but I didn't do anything. But now hear it and say, okay, this is what God showed me, and then you step out, and that's faith. So it's a continue. Faith is we come to Christ by faith. We believe and you trust. Then he continues to speak. We continue to hear, and we continue to obey in the things he shows us to. So it is only faith when God shows us and we obey. Not we just, hey, this will be good, you know. I'm going to go do this, and won't you come with me and do that? And it's like, I mean, if you love me, you would come. If you cared about me, you'd come. So I love you and care, but I don't. No, I'm not going. So you see what I'm saying? Because it's not faith. Feeling sorry for me is not faith. I mean, it'd be nice, a little empathy. You know, I appreciate that. But it's not faith, all right? Is everybody with me? I mean, this is huge. It really is huge. Okay, so after trusting Jesus, God is very interested in works. And that's what James is saying. James is saying to the church, hey, man, all year loving Jesus and just love, and you ain't doing nothing. I mean, that's what James is telling them. You know, Paul's talking to them. They don't know who God is, you know, from anybody else. He said, no, this is Jesus. This is what Jesus does. You're saved by faith. Oh, okay, we got. So they're coming all excited. And the church where James is talking, they've been around a long time. You know, I said, you know, I've taught Sunday school for 2 years straight. I'm done. I'm okay. I don't care what God says or anybody. I'm just tired of doing this stuff. You know, see, so James is talking to these people. Wait a minute, you can't just quit. God has a purpose for you. Continue in what God has called. See, do you see the difference of what's going on? Anyway, so these books complement. Now, what James does, now he explains what hearing and obeying looks like. Do you ever explain something to somebody and they go, what? I don't know. What do you mean? You know, and it's like, good grief. Well, James anticipates this, so he gives us an example of hearing and doing. And he says this. There's no overhead for this, by the way. I'll just read it to you. It's the next verse, you know, James 2, 14 through 17. And he says this, what good is it, my brothers? Now, who's he talking to? Church, you know, church. What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? And what he's saying here, can just hearing and no trust and action save this guy? I believe, you know. And he's, I heard God, but only you and God know. I ain't seeing nothing. You know, you see what I'm saying? So can that faith save him? Just hearing with no actions. Can that save hearing? If a brother or sister, who's he talking to? He's talking about people in his church. Okay? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. That is like, you just come in here, your life falling apart. It's like, oh, brother, go in peace, be warmed and filled. Next. But you see what he's saying here? And if you just say, he has all these needs, says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, just hearing, if it does not have works, is dead. Hearing with no action is dead. So he's talking about what the folks are doing in the church. You're not doing anything. You're hearing the language. There's not any outworking. So what we have here is faith not accompanied by action is dead. True faith is hearing and acting on what we heard. Regeneration, once we believe Christ comes in us, regeneration affects our behavior. Regeneration affects our behavior. I always pause and try to make a point. In the Bible, you have people say, "Oh, I've come to Christ," and they don't change. They don't do anything. They just nothing, you know. And so, I'm as much a believer as you are, you know. And I always think to myself, because when you say you believe, the Lord Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. You say, "I believe." Say, comes and lives within you. That's what it says. And there's change happens from within. And I always like. And to Jesus, Holy Spirit, or God, whichever one you say. But you have in all creation, before time, God spoke the word and created the worlds. Now that's what the Bible says. He spoke the word, created the worlds. So you come to know Christ, and God enters in you. And nothing happens. I mean, He just created the worlds, the whole universe. He can't get you to do nothing. I mean, it's like... That makes sense, you know. That's totally inconceivable that the God who created the universe come in here and you don't even notice. You don't do anything, don't care about it, and you just move on. And so you're going, no, regeneration, when God comes in, something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. Things start moving in one to be more obedient to God, to look to God and trust in God. Now it's a growth process. We don't do it overnight, but something happens. I was listening to Pete preacher talk one time. He said, "Don't worry about it. You come to know faith and nothing, come and trust Jesus and nothing happens. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be concerned. Just have faith in God." And I'm thinking, I have faith that God's not saved. I mean, what are you telling me? It does have something to do with it. Don't tell these people it doesn't have anything to do with it. No, you receive Christ, something happens. Your thinking changes. Things about you happen. Now, what happens, a lot of it is depending on our future walk and how we continue in that. You know, we all have choices. But anyway, so regeneration affects our behavior. Therefore, if no deeds are forthcoming, it is proof that our professed faith is dead. That's what it says here. Now, as we go on, it says, but you would say, one would say, now, by the way, I'm not telling you to go talk to somebody and tell them this. I'm just talking about you, and you do this for ourselves, okay, where we are, you know. But you may say, I may say, you listen to this, but listen, I don't believe that. I believe. Don't tell me I don't believe. I believe. Okay. The thing of it is, mere profession of faith proves nothing. Only action can demonstrate faith's genuineness. What he's saying, I mean, maybe saved, but it's you and God, you know. And I don't think God thinks you're saved, but no, you don't. But it's no genuine. There's you see nothing going on. You know, it said there's no genuine. So the whole thing of an interchange, you know, faith, the action demonstrates faith's genuineness because something happened in you. It's not, I'll do this and I'll achieve it. No, it's just something has changed in you. One. And this talk to us personally, has anything changed in us? In us? I mean, that's a big question here. So, but I believe... Verse 2:19. I don't know. I shouldn't chuckle at this, but this makes me chuckle. Okay, I shouldn't. I'm sorry. Okay, 2:19. But I believe. James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Oh, man, that really. So what he's saying here? What James is saying, the demons believe in God with thorough conviction. You want somebody that is absolutely convinced God is God? Satan. He knows God is God. All the demons know God is God. When Jesus came on the earth, the demons come out and say, "Oh, don't throw us into the pit." They said, "Oh God, he showed up, Lord." They're totally convinced. And they were totally convinced that he was going to throw them out. And they tried to put it off. "Hey, this just, you know, get me off and just let me out for a while." You know, it's like that. And to my chagrin, and I don't understand this. He did. Okay, leave. So they just leave. You know, they didn't argue. They just left. You know, they're getting out of Dodge. So here you, the demons are thoroughly convinced there's a God. I believe in God. Well, you just measured up to Satan. He believes in God. And so however, say, however here, the demons' orthodox knowledge of God simply makes them tremble, for they are terrified at the thought of God. They don't have any question. They understand him fully. They understand fully what his power is. They fully have seen him. They know him. They've seen him. See, before. And so, but their orthodox knowledge didn't help them to obey. It just made them tremble. Tremble. The demons have belief, but it does not lead them to obedience. Now listen to this. I wish I'd Rich up here do a drum roll. Listen to this. Likewise, believers who can only claim an orthodox confession of faith are doing no better than Satan. I go to church. I believe this. I do this. You see? Not that you, that's what you do. You have a thorough belief in God. I know there's a God. Like that. Good. You and Satan both believe the same thing. See? You've achieved his level of belief. Now, so as we look at this, you think, oh my gosh. What is, we need to know what believing faith is. See, believing faith, does Satan have a faith, a believing faith? In one way, he does, because he knows he's going to be thrown into the pit of fire. He knows it. See? But that believing faith didn't lead him to obey and follow God who created him. See? Satan, you have faith. That's like, have faith. I mean, Satan has faith. It's like, but he didn't have, he heard, but he had no obedience. Satan heard, but there was no obedience. In fact, there was rebellion. Like, don't you tell me. I mean, there's absolute rebellion there. So, believing faith, therefore, we're back to what faith is. Believing faith is hearing and obeying, expressing itself outwardly in a changed life. Can't help it. I believe Christ entered into me, and I move forward, expresses itself in my life. You know, now we all grow. We're all in different places, you know, and stuff like that. But there's a change takes place because Christ indwells us, and we hear and we obey from then on. Our whole life should be hearing and obeying. Now what we have here, and I'm going to restate this a little bit, in opposition, and this is how it flows into Scripture here, in opposition to the demon's faith, we have evidence of Abraham's faith. So he's got, here's the demons. What it, now, let me show what faith looks like. It's Abraham. He goes right to Abraham. Paul, when he talked about faith, he goes right to Abraham. Abraham is a man of faith, which we come back to Hebrews 11:8. Abraham heard God and obeyed. See, the same, so he's a man of faith. Now, so what we look at this, we have Abraham is the primary example of faith throughout the entire Scripture. And now it's again stated in these following three verses. And so I'm just going to kind of summarize it. It says, although Abraham experienced many different circumstances, and he was a fallible man. He made mistakes. He made all sorts of mistakes. All right, he was far from perfect. But although Abraham experienced different circumstances, the basic principle by which he lived was always consistent. Every time it was consistent. By faith, when heard, he acted. God would tell him. I mean, he's doing this like that. And I mean, he says, you're going to have a son, and all the nations, you know, come to you. And he's listening. And here's Abraham, the man of faith. And he says, listen, you know, Sarah's 90. I'm 100. You know, so he's talking to God. I mean, it's reasonable. You know, Sarah's 90. I'm 100. He said, this ain't happening. You know, but I have this handmaid. And, you know, I think it'd work out good with her. That's what he said, yeah. That's what he said. And God goes, no. No. He goes, it's Sarah. And God goes, I hear you. By faith, I believe you. See? And you know what happened in that same scenario? God tells Sarah. God tells her. You know what she does? You know what Sarah does? She laughs. I mean, she goes, this is the funniest thing I heard in a long time. Ain't happening. It just ain't happening, you know. And then God, he speaks to her. He said, she goes, whatever you say, I'm your handmaid. Whatever you say. And sure enough, God, like a year and a half later, gives her a baby. I mean, he just slow as all get out. But he did finally. And so, I mean, their process, can you imagine this? But that's what, so they use Abraham. What? Because Abraham, all right, I'm 100, she's 9. Whatever you say, I hear and obey. See, and that's what he did consistently all the way through. But he did say, hey, God, this ain't working. Me and the maid. You didn't see God. I'm Mia. Okay, no, it's Sarah. It's okay. See. Now, so you see what's happening here, and so we want to understand the basic principle. What is faith? What is faith? What have you heard God tell you? Then you act on what he told you. I mean, there it is. Just have faith. No. I mean, if I'm going to just hear God, if he tells you something, then you can have faith. You see what I'm saying? Now, this is really, it helps you understand the scripture, and also it helps you people telling you to do crazy stuff, you know. Now, okay, so we're going here. So, like Abraham, we're saved by grace, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. However, our regeneration or interchange through Christ produces obedience. Then James 2:24 says this, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Or let's put this, it helps us understand. You see a person is justified by work and not by hearing alone. Hearing alone. You going with me? You hear, but if you don't do nothing, if you do the wrong thing. So, hearing alone is not faith. Now, some say, I just want God to speak to me. Okay, that's great. But hearing alone is not faith. James shows us that the deeds are an outworking of genuine faith. If there's genuine faith, there's an outworking of something in your life, somewhere, wherever you are. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in a slightly different way. Paul insisted that salvation is not of works, but faith alone. However, Paul also said, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You're going to have fruit. See? Both Paul and James declare that good deeds are the product of genuine faith. Of genuine faith. Now, God gives us life through Jesus. Therefore, our goal is to hear God and obey. Through obedience, there is evidence of life. Jesus gives us life, but our obedience shows there's evidence. Something happened in them. In James 2:26, and you see, I mean, I read stuff like this, and I think, you know, if I was writing the Bible, I don't know if I'd put this in. You know, maybe true, but it's just kind of, but he makes a point. Because James goes on to say how important, how necessary is for obedience. Obedience is evidence of life. Amen? Then he says this, James 2:26. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, okay? I mean, spirit leaves you dead. Dead as a hammer, okay? Okay, the body without the spirit. The body apart from the spirit is dead. So also, faith apart from works is dead. Is dead. The body without the spirit is nothing but a corpse. Faith without deeds is as dead as a corpse and equally useless. It works, it's just useless, right? Because there's no outworking of the life within us. which James is trying to get across. Now, we're going to do a little summary. We're going to change a little bit of gears, but I know some of you are asking about it already in your mind. Okay, so we understand what faith is. What's faith? Hear and obey. You hear and you obey. But you have to hear. Have to hear. Oh, this is what God wants. You know, I'm going down to XYZ and you do whatever, whatever. And it's like, maybe, maybe not, man. I don't know. We'll see what happens, okay? But when God tells you to do that, you go, okay, we'll move under God's power and he'll take care of it. That's faith. Okay? Now, the Bible is full of statements about faith. The last four sermons about prayer and all, it's full of faith. It's, in fact, the word or God's will is interjected in every one of the comments. See, when I said there were no caveats, there wasn't. But there was kind of a subtle, by faith, God's will injected in that. So we know, well, okay, we have to have faith. So what do we have to do? Hear God. Then we act. Hear God. Then we pray. Then it's fulfilled. Hear God. Then we move. Then it's accomplished. You see what I'm saying? So that's entered. But you can ask anything, okay, anything of God, but it has to be by faith. So it's about hearing what God said. Now, therefore, we need to know what is faith, right? Again, faith is hearing God and obeying. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask the question that you're asking. How do we hear God? How do we hear God? It's like, oh, my God, the whole world's falling. Oh, how do we hear God? Now, the Bible is real clear, and I almost went and listed a bunch of verses, and then I thought y'all wouldn't be out of here before 11:30, and I didn't. Okay, so I just leave it up to you. Go look them up, all right? But here's important. Here's important. How do we hear God? And this is true. This is an absolute truth, okay? And we dig into it. We hear God through the Bible. And we hear God through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. Now, what we see here, first of all, and by the way, this is an absolute. I mean, this is a totally absolute. Just as you hear God and you obey is an absolute, but how do we hear God? You read the Scriptures. And God refers to the Scripture as God's Word. Paul refers to the Scripture as God breathed. I mean, like you open up the Bible and you read, it's like just God breathes all over you. See, what you have to understand who God is and what God wants, you read the Scripture. And he speaks to you through the Scripture. And God said this, I don't know, but he just said this, so I'm going to do it because that's what I heard, and I'll just do it. I will obey, and then God takes care of it. See, I just read the Bible, I study 24/7, and I'll do nothing. He said, I like it in my office, I don't want anybody to bother me, I pass that on to Linda a couple of times, never makes her happy, all right? And it's just like, well, no, because you're hearing, but you're not doing nothing. You're not doing nothing. You see what I'm saying? Because you got to hear it, and then you go out and implement it, right there. Then that's faith. That's faith. Not just hearing and not doing nothing. You see what I'm saying? You have to input. You have to step out in it based on what God shows you. And it's from the Bible. You read it cover to cover. And you'll find out. You read something and just pop out. Oh, my goodness, you know. And you go along. Then something else. And it's amazing what will happen. You read the Scriptures. But that's the Word of God. And that's God breathed. So we know what God wants to do through the Scriptures. All right? I never read my Bible. God's talking to me every day. No. Not, see. Now, the other is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, and you can do this, like, we don't want to just get wrapped around the axle with turn, but you can say, God in you, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, you know, you get it done. Okay, right there. Technically, it's the Holy Spirit in you. Technically. Okay, if you want to be 100% text. But God even refers to himself being in you. He refers to Christ being in us, you know, just because it's like, hey, you got one, you got the other. It's a good deal, okay? So you have the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit will do, he helps you interpret the scripture. Now, he's in you, okay? He'll help you interpret and bring to mind and work with your mind and bring things to mind. Also, what the Holy Spirit will do, because, you know, he is God's written word, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. He'll prompt you. Now, I'm going to ask you to believe, have you ever gone along something and somebody, it's just like, well, we'll do this, and you just have a check, like, What is that? You know, everything else, everybody else is going, but you have, that's the Holy Spirit. He gives you a check. And you learn how to obey that. You understand how to be sensitive to that. And you see God guiding you. Or you'll see somebody prompts you. You're just prompted. This is a good thing. Hey, I don't know. Just prompted. Feel like the Lord says this. Now, you're in the Word. You're not just making this stuff up. You know, oh, the God prompt me. You ever read your Bible? I never read the thing. Well, God ain't prompting him. The only thing he's being prompted by is Satan, you know. And Satan can prompt you to do good things to lead you ultimately astray. But if you're concerned, well, and so what it is, within your heart, there's just a prompt. Now, you'll go before the Lord and you pray, look, but there's a prompt. So the Holy Spirit is working in you, speaking in you through that. Or you go, and there's a check. And I know all of you, you probably had more checks than prompting, like, that's wrong, you know. And it's, but it's the Holy Spirit working in you. So the whole point of hearing God, he intends for you to hear. But when you hear, you need to obey. Oh, I got this check, but I can tough it through. I can handle anything. Okay, you're just, you know, in trouble. Or it's like, I don't know about this. I got 10 decisions. I'm doing this, and they all look the same. I just prompted. This seems like right thing. Well, you never know until you obey and do what he prompted you to. You see what I'm saying? So that's at work. That's constantly at work. But it comes from reading the scriptures. Holy Spirit in you, speaking to you. Things come to mind. It's like, you know, sometimes and this happens to me a lot, like sharing the gospel or something. I'll share something to somebody, and they ask this question, and I'll just like, okay, I believe this is what the Lord's saying, da-da-da, like that, you know. And, oh, thank you or something. Okay, and I'm thinking, that is a strange thing I just told them. I never thought about that before in my life. Now, I've had that happen to me. Now, it's consistent with the Bible and everything, but it wasn't consistent with me. I said, that is kind of interesting that I'm so intelligent and figured that out. You know, it's like, God goes, no, it's just, you know, I use what I got, you just happen to be there, all right? So, but you see what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, there's a whole dynamic that starts taking place with faith. And then you go by, ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Then God prompted me, I want a brand new Mercedes. God didn't prompt me to get a brand new Mercedes. I didn't want a brand new Mercedes and trying to get God to join me in it. But it's when Jesus says, this is what I need you to do. And like that, you ask it and I'll do it. But the Holy Spirit's working through. And I use things like, and I'm being facetious. But I said, this is a good prayer. Yeah. Oh, God, keep my kids out of jail. You know, that's a good prayer. I mean, he wants that. So it's not a bad prayer. Don't think that you have to be very specific. God, I mean, what do you want? Just simple. Keep them out of jail. You know. But so what I'm saying, we want to be open. But the Holy Spirit is like working with us. Now, also I add, and here, how do we know when we hear? Again, scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and he works with it. But our focus is on him. I mean, we're asking him. We're really looking at the thing. And now I'm going to share a verse with you that, for me, just absolutely changed my life. And I was going to this another gentleman I used to know, and he's... it's just funny. You have to tell, this guy, you got to know. He God called him, first of all, to be one. He's brilliant. I mean, he's one of these guys off the charts, brilliant. And you talk to him, you know, he pauses, talks slow, and just like that, and then they tell you something, you have no idea what he's talking about. You know, he's just one of those brilliant guys off the chart. Well, he came to know Christ. He's a lawyer. Let's see, graduate, Well, just go. It's just, I mean, it's just funny. Okay? He graduated number one in UVA. Okay? Went to Harvard Law School. And then he was a Rhodes Scholar to Oxford in England. I mean, huh? He's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he would take time to talk to me. Now, he had to kind of tone it down. It's like, what are you talking about, brother? Brother. But what he would, but he would say, he said, the only way, so that's who he was. He would say, the only wisdom you have to get through this world is the scripture. That was his, he summarized UVA, Harvard, and Oxford. He's the only thing to get through this is the scriptures. It's the scripture. And you read the scripture, and God will speak to you. He'll speak to you. So, I mean, so this is who this guy was. And I'm just being honest. So this is a long time ago. Gosh, this is 30 years ago. That is a long time. And I'd spent time. I talked with him. And he says, would you just read? And he said, I get up every morning, and I read the scripture, and I never leave the house until God speaks to me. And I thought, you know, I'd starve to death. I mean, it's like a weight. And so he was just incredible like that. And so he said, what you got to do before you do anything? You have to have God to tell you. He will speak to you, and he'll tell you each day what you have to do. You know, and it's like I said, all right, I'm a few steps behind you. You know, I'm going to have to go to work before God talks to me because I think my boss is saying go to work. But anyway, but really, this is the way the guy was. He's amazing. And I spent a lot of time with him. I spent a whole lot of time with him. And I asked him one day, he said, no, God will just speak to you. God will just speak. And finally, just out of total frustration, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I just flat don't want, I don't know. How do you read the Bible? How do you read, and God speak to you? I don't understand what he speaks to you. How does he speak to you like that? Frustrated. He's just totally frustrated. You know, I can think, my discipleship with you is going nowhere. You know, but he was really frustrated. He says, he gets his Bible out. He flips it, flips it. He says, turn here. Turn to Luke 24:32. This is right here. Luke 24:32. Now listen to this. This is exactly how it works. This is how God speaks to you through the scripture. He says this. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture? And when you open to the scripture and God burns within, God spoke to you. It changed my life. Pastor Milliken, years later, and I told you what input he had on me, his missionary 50 years in Congo and stuff like that, and I asked him a question, and I know what the question was. Linda and I were separated, and he had told me, don't worry about it, God's going to bring her back. And I said, man, you ain't dealt with this woman. She ain't coming back. And I mean, you know, you could find, I mean, you went, you know, just you pushing it a little too hard on that. And so anyway, we got back there. And so I had Mrs. Milliken actually died, and I took Pastor Milliken up to see his, you know, in-laws. He's visiting again. And I just had to ask him. I said, how did you know that you were going to resolve, Linda, that God was going to resolve Linda and I's marriage? He goes, oh, it burned within me. This is what this said. They said the same thing. See, it's like, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road while he opened the scriptures? See? And it's like, oh my God. And so from that point on, I'll read the scriptures and I just, you know, I'm trucking along and something will just burn. I'll write it down. Something will just check. I'll write it down. Because what it is God speaking to me. Now the Bible speaks to us, but specifically God speaking to us. And those two guys said the same thing. So when you read that, okay, I'm going through Leviticus. Oh, I mean, how many animals they're going to kill before we get out of this thing. Good night. Man, you know, you're just like crazy. But after a while, you say, God will speak to you. And you write those things, and it's like, it's amazing. So God, it's just God's word. Well, God's word, he actually speaks. He speaks. And how you know he speaks? He's like, hey, Wallace, I'm speaking. No, it burns within your heart. It prompts within you, it checks within you. I've read the Bible and open up, and I'll just almost double. And I think, well, what's that? What's, and then I'll read it again. He told me something. You see what I'm saying? So this is what's being said here. So this is how we know we hear. Now we also know we hear, just like you say, you go, how many of you think, yeah, I'm gonna go do this, and you just have a check. Now believe it. You know what God's saying? Don't go. It ain't gonna work out. Or you can go, I just have a peace. You know, hear Christians say that all the time. I have a peace. It's actually a legitimate phrase. You go on, you just peace about it because you're walking with God in the situation. You just have peace. See, that's a good one. Have peace. Or you have check. You know, don't do that. Not going to work out well. You know, see what. So, I mean, and I'm saying all these things are different things, but the thing is, God will show us. God will show us those things. And so as we see these scriptures, when we see these scripture, when Abraham heard, he went, he obeyed. Well, how did he hear, you know? And I think in the situation, look, God spoke to him. But we have the Word of God here, and God will speak to us. He'll prompt us, and like this one said, did not your hearts burn within you? Is God moving? Didn't he prompt you? Has something happened when he opened the scriptures, and so the scripture spoke to us. Now the Holy Spirit separately can speak to us, like say you have a check or leading. Have you done that? It's not right. This is just not right. I mean, you try to teach your kids this, he ain't right to listen to Jesus on this. But anyway, so so you see what he's saying here? But so that is when you look at this, that's the whole thing, is tied into faith. Scripture, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There you go. You get in the Word. But it's active and alive. Things are happening. See, in that. And so we know that he will speak to us, our hearts burn within us, or a check, or all sorts of things. Now, so you're with me? Like this? So it's, and this is what I'm saying about the Bible. You read the Bible. I mean, it's loaded with stuff. Not only is it loaded with stuff, but then it's God's Word, therefore God speaks to you. You know, and I know you're right in the middle of Leviticus that God's not talking to nobody. Holy. You know, but you can pass on through that, and you'll learn to pick up, but he'll move you on to something else. You know, see, and he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. It's really, really powerful, and he keeps you founded and moving forward, and so much needed in the world today. Now, here we are. Are we living in faith? There's a question. Now, what's faith? Come on. I just spent 45 minutes telling. What's faith, you know? You know, and the faith is, you know, you hear God and you obey. That's faith. Oh, I got to work it up. No, hear God and obey. And no working it up. Hear, read the Word. He'll speak. You hear faith and obey. He can prompt you, guide you. All that works through the Holy Spirit within you. Now, as we process this, we need to now examine ourselves. Okay? Now, this is, I'm going to read the scripture. Examine ourselves. And it's examining ourselves before the scripture and before God. Examine ourselves. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. So here we are. Heard all this. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And it says, examine yourselves. It's like, I'm not to examine you, and you're not to examine me. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. God speaks, we do. Are you in the faith? God speaks, we obey. Test yourselves. Okay, that is good. Test yourselves. We test ourselves. And if you don't believe this, do you not realize this about yourselves? that Jesus Christ is in you? That's what he's saying. Don't you realize Jesus is in you? Don't you get it? Jesus in you, it is in you. Indeed, unless you fail the test. See, you fail the test. Jesus is not in you. I mean that kind of. So what it is, and you say, well, wait a minute. How do I get Jesus in me? It says you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. You trust in Christ, and Christ comes to indwell in you. See? So the whole thing is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you believe about Jesus? You know, there's a lot of people saying whatever. But what Jesus did. First of all, he's crucified, died, and resurrected. Okay, so the guy's got some credentials. I mean, resurrected people. You know, you don't know me in those, okay? So he's got some credentials. But he says, you believe on me, and I come and I indwell you. He indwells us. What do you believe about Jesus? Jesus said, I came to die for the sins of the world. Now listen to this. And all this starts tiny. He who knew no sin. Who is the one person in the world who didn't know any sin? It's Jesus. Never sinned. It's because he is God. That helped. Okay. But anyway, he who knew no sin. He said, he who knew no sin. Now listen, this is crazy. He who knew no, didn't sin, didn't do anything wrong. We've all done something wrong. But he who knew no sin became sin. When he was on the cross in agony, suffering, he didn't just die. He became sin. Whose sin? Ours. He just like a big sponge. And the word is he became sin. He's like a big sponge. He just sucked it up like that. He became our sin. Why? That we may be as right as God. How can I be as right as God? I always tell Linda I'm as right as God. She has a kind of tapered look. But anyway, but you know, he who knew no sin became sin, that I might be as right as God. How could that be? Well, I've done things wrong, right? But they all fell on Jesus. So it's gone. He who knew no sin became sin. I don't have anything on me. God looks at me, you're as right as God. Because Jesus paid for your sin. I have a home in heaven. Oh, my goodness. See, so you see what's happening here. He who knew no sin became sin. So we might be the righteousness of God. Therefore, we believe on the Lord Jesus that we are forgiven and we're as right as God because of what Jesus did. There we trust him and that alone, and that's our work. We stand before God as his child. Then he comes to live, and then he starts speaking. And he'll show us through his word, and that when he shows us something, Wallace, you need to pay attention really to this. He'll just jump off on the page. I'll be moved. It'll burn in my heart, and I'll think, oh, I'll write it down. I say, God, what are you trying to tell me? Or he'll prompt me by the Holy Spirit, like, check, don't go in there. Or you go over here. This is you need to share with this person. You know, I've shared with people. This is funny. It's happened more than one. And they'll talk. Can you imagine people how many questions they ask? I mean, I don't know. I can't answer all the questions people have like that. And so I'll share with them about Christ. And they'll say, well, what about this and this? And what about this? Okay. And I'll share with them. I said, this is what the Lord does. And this is, you know, what he means. They say, okay, I really appreciate that. You know, walk off. And I'm thinking, I don't ever remember having that thought before. I don't ever remember processing what I just told them before. I don't remember. Where did that come from? Christ in you, who is more interested in that person than I am, and he brought it to my mind. It's like, let's share this. This is what you need. And I said, oh, okay. I'm sharing with them. Man, that was good. I like, wow. You know, I got knocked that one out of the park. And then I'm thinking about, well, I didn't know that to knock it out of the park. You know, and so then you're like humble, like, oh, whoa. But you see what I'm saying? But this is the dynamic of the church and what God is trying to tell us. And if we see that and walk in that, and as we read the scriptures, you know, then he will speak to us and guide us in everything we need to do. Amen? So it's hallelujah. So it's good. So don't you know, and what this thing is, don't you know that Jesus is in you? I mean, that really changes the playing field. Okay? Jesus is in you. Unless you fail the test. What's the fail the test? I don't believe in Jesus. You fail the test. But you believe in Jesus, you receive it, you pass the test. You pass the test. So, we are in faith when we hear God and act on what He says. Hear and don't act as disobedience. Don't hear, it's an act of presumption. Salvation, we hear and we believe that He paid the penalty for our sins. I always say it, Christianity is the simplest religion in the world. Jesus died for our sins. He died on the cross, paid the penalty for our sins. We are forgiven. Period. Now, that's simple. Now, there's some of this other stuff confusing, but that gets you into heaven, and that is really, really simple. But then our daily walk, He said, I'll continue. You continue to trust and continue to do what I say. Continue to do what I say, and I will lead you everywhere you need to go. Amen? Hallelujah. So the thing is, and again, this is so important. What is faith? Tell me. Hear God do what He says. That's, well, faith, I'm going to try real hard. I'm going to lock myself in the church 24 hours, pray, and faith. Well, okay, that's good if you want to do that, and maybe the Lord's trying to tell you something. That's not faith. Faith is hearing God and doing what He said. Period. The first thing He says, I died for you and I paid for your sins. And that's the step to get in to hear the rest of it and to be obedient with the rest of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness and power. Thank You for Your Word, God, that tells us stuff we'd never otherwise know. We so appreciate You. We so love You, God. And Lord, I just pray, I really do. You know, I feel so inadequate in so many ways in sharing this. But God, I just pray each person would look at this closely, the Word, to incorporate what You are saying to them, that they could be encouraged and have confidence, walk in power, knowing that God loves them and is speaking to them, is taking care of them through every aspect of their life. We thank You for that. It's beyond any comprehension. Just simplicity, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear what God has to say and act. Name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.